Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. We were told by the ranger that the weather could change pretty quickly on the mountain. But you know, sometimes you don't take things as seriously until you experience it yourself. What began as a beautiful hike at Glacier National Park with my mother in an instant changed pretty quickly. I remember watching the cloud coming at us. Not above us, not overhead, but the cloud was coming at us. And I would be lying if I didn't say we were panicked. We were worried about what to do because you couldn't escape a cloud, a storm coming at you. To make matters worse, as we began questioning our own map reading skills, because we saw two paths in front of us and debated which one was a mountain goat trail and which one was the trail that led to the mountain chalet that promised warmth and comfort. The rain began and crescendoed on our rain gear. Lightning flashed, the thunder crashed, and we were feeling overcome with worry because we were unsure about which way to go. Right or left? I mean, who can think straight in circumstances like that? Our lives, like the weather, can change pretty quickly. One minute, everything is going well, and the next, we find ourselves in the storm itself. How did we get here? What do we do now that we can't see where we are going? Who will help us or guide us through it? Which path or paths should we take? How do we know which one is the right way? These questions flood our minds during times of great and sudden change. When we receive that phone call about a loved one who is in crisis, when we wrestle with our inner selves of who we are or who we want to be, when we watch events around the world and in our country unfold that devastate us, these questions in the clouds can be disorienting. And we are left at a crossroads, not knowing how to navigate this to a peaceful end. The disciples knew about storms. Yes, the literal ones on water, but they knew that weather could change pretty quickly, especially when they hung around Jesus, who was like a lightning rod. Can we imagine a message like love your neighbor could be met with such confrontation? Okay, we might be able to imagine that. They endured skeptic glances from other religious folk more concerned with being right and looking good than the good news. They were aware that the Roman guards were ordered to monitor their movement, for the teachings of their rabbi put everyone on equal economic, political, and social playing ground. And these teachings are a threat to those who abuse power. So as they journeyed around the region following Jesus, at least they could make out Jesus in the clouds, in those storms. They could trust their feet would go where God needed them to go. Even when they did not fully understand what Jesus was up to, they mustered up enough faith to keep going, to keep proclaiming a kingdom of God, a community where safety and well-being was the way. After all, Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. So after they have what would be their last supper together, Jesus tells them that soon and very soon I will leave you and will not come again for a long while. And I imagined the disciples panicked like we did on that mountain. What will we do? Which way will we go? Questions we all ask ourselves. And anyone who has relied, like I said in the children's moment, solely on your GPS in a new town or in another country, you know that feeling when that blue line goes away. When you don't know where your destination is, and you begin looking around wishing you would have taken better observation of the turns or the landmarks. Needless to say, I believe Jesus was used to this look of panic on others' faces, especially his own students. There was not enough time to teach the disciples everything they needed to know, but there was another that could. Another that could guide them, could help them, and lead them. So he assures them that the Spirit of truth will come. The Holy Spirit, or the holy hotspot, will ensure that their GPS will continue to point them in the ways God needs them to go, even after he is gone. And they reacted to this assurance in the same way we often do when we think about the Holy Spirit. That's nice. But seriously, I want something more real. Can you just stay with us? What is the Spirit going to do? And on this Trinity Sunday, we lift up the divine three, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, or whatever faithful love language is meaningful for us. We have three candles up front burning at the same temperature and brightness. Yet that's not typically how we talk about the Spirit. For some of us, Jesus or God would be a bonfire, while the Spirit is often a little tea candle off to the side. One theologian put it this way: the Trinity is like a T-Rex, and we have made the Spirit the little arms that are useless. However, Jesus does not view the Spirit this way. The Spirit is an equal co-partner with him and the Father. At the time of Jesus' departure, the Spirit will be among each individual believer and the community of believers and will guide and help them follow his ways. This Spirit will teach them what Jesus has no time to teach and will lead them in the midst of all the storms to come. This morning, we got to listen to Lady Wisdom and gives us a taste of how the Spirit has manifested herself throughout our faith tradition. In Proverbs, she says, "I have good advice and sound wisdom. I have insight, I have strength. I walk in right living and walk the paths of justice." But she does not just move among herself and for herself. But Lady Wisdom raises her voice of understanding publicly at the entrance of the town, at the crossroads of major highways, and in the town square. In fact, she boldly states that whenever a king rules with justice or nobles govern rightly, there she is. Imagine that image behind each leader. She needs to be next to them, usually him, but we need her there. She guides and helps them seeking to live lives pleasing to God. For leaders, it's caring for the least of these. For us, it's caring for the least of these and thinking of our own wholeness with God. And if we still doubt her resume, we learn that she was created before there was an in the beginning. The Lord created her at the beginning of God's work to help God create everything. Water, mountains, fields, the first bits of soil. She was there as God's partner. As God established the heavens and assigned to the sea its limit, she was there, not just as a bystander, but a partner in God's creating work, and continues to be during the divided monarchy years in which Proverbs was written, in the time of Jesus, and even now, She is with us. She is the collective wisdom and full partner of the Trinity's work of love. Jesus assures his disciples and us that when the storms come, when you find yourself in the middle of the cloud and are in real risk, Jesus says, I have sent you a guide to be my voice. She will teach. She will lead you when you don't know which way to go. With the rain coming down, and the lightning and the thunder, and our map is out, we chose to go left, which was the wrong decision. We later found out that it was, in fact, a well-worn mountain goat path. So we turn left, and we walk about 30 yards, and by coincidence, by chance, by feeling or something, we looked back at that fork in the trail. And there in the fog, we can make out a backpacker and could hear her bear bells. She came to the place where the trail was divided, and she confidently went right. So we followed her. For a quarter of a mile, we tried to keep up with her, keeping our eyes peeled on her. And when the cloud was too thick, we listened for the bear bells and kept following her. We weren't out of the storm, but we were on the right path. And we had someone leading us. It is difficult to discern the work of the Spirit Jesus promised will guide us through life's storms. It is hard to think God is in the grief, in the loneliness, in the pain, in the injustice. But when we look back, by chance or feeling, we can vaguely see traces of Lady Wisdom, for something has brought you here today, this morning. Something has brought you through storms past to this moment. And so as you go into the week, I invite you to reflect on the moments of life when you felt you were surrounded by the storm. Who or what brought you through it? Think about the moments in history where all was thought to be lost, where people said like they do today, what is going on? Is this the end? And as you look back, witness the Spirit in the friend that brought you comfort, in the partner that showed unconditional love. See her in the leader that spoke truth and justice. See her in the courage of those who speak out against injustice. And see her creating still a world God longs to see. Yes, see her and say thank you. So I invite you to repeat after me as we acknowledge the Spirit at work in our lives. Spirit, you have been with us through storm and sunshine, through trial and triumphs, through violence and peace. You made a way. Thank you. We see you now, an equal light that shows us the way. And let God's people say, Amen.